We talked the last couple weeks about what's going on in this letter. And, you know, Paul is basically instructing the church there in Galatia to stand firm in trusting God, right? Don't return to relating to God by the doing of rules, by the following of laws. Instead, stand firm in trusting him. And the way that he explained that to them was he said, remember back when you first experienced God. When you first had an experience of who God is by the Holy Spirit. Remember how awesome and wonderful that was. Remember the way that moved you in the core of your being. There's nothing like it, is there? There's nothing like being touched by God in the core of our being. But, you know, those moments have a tendency to be fleeting. Because we, we get distracted, we're busy, whatever. But, you know, what Paul did in order to cement this, to make it, to provide a foundation of it, is he said, okay, now here's how the scripture explains the experience that you had. And see, once we have an experience and then we see it in the scripture as something God has done and made firm in his word, all of a sudden, it becomes more than just an experience. It can become a foundation for our lives. Because that's what truth is, right? It's a foundation. And, you know, lots of times people seek after truth apart from experience. And what they wind up being are Pharisees, really. Those who want to minister truth, but with no grace. And then you have, on the other hand, you have people who are always after experience, but don't relate it back to truth, and they're just completely flaky. God bless them. What we want to do is both. Remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God. We need to know both the scripture and the power of God through experiencing the wonder of his presence with us. Right? So what I want to do is give us a little scripture foundation for what just happened. Okay? For what we just experienced. And then we'll let the Lord touch us again, I think. I think this is what he wants to do. We'll see. It'll be good regardless, right? Because God is good. Now, last time, you know, we saw that there, you know, what we looked at in Galatians is that there's basically two contrasting and mutually exclusive ways for the people of God to live and to relate to him. Two absolutely diametrically opposed ways of relating to God and experiencing him and living in our relationship with God. Now, one of the ways is to live and to relate to God by doing works of the law. That's the way of the old covenant, right? That's one of the ways of living and relating to him. And we saw that the other way of living and relating to God is how? By faith. Two ways of living to God. On the one hand, you can relate to God, live and relate to God by doing works of law. On the other hand, you can live and relate to God by trusting him. Trusting in his goodness. Trusting that he is good. Trusting that he cares more about us than we could ever think or imagine to care about ourselves. That he wants better for us than we could ever think or imagine to want for ourselves. That's an awesome thing to trust in, isn't it? But that's who he is. So look at Galatians on your sheet, chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Now, the law is not based on faith. Okay, that's the point here. The doing law is not based on living by faith. You know, people don't live under law by putting their trust in God. Instead, they live under law by doing stuff themselves. That's how people live under law. I've got this set of rules, and now I'm going to live by doing them. But see, that's not trusting God. That's trusting in yourself and your own ability to do. So they live and relate to God by putting their trust in what they do. And according to Paul, that is a cursed way to live. Okay? Now, what's more, when you choose to live by law, what you have to do is you have to live by the whole law. You don't you can't live by just one pick or choose the portions of the law you want to do. Well, Paul says no. When you choose to live by law, you're putting your trust. You want to do the whole law. You got to put your trust in the whole thing. And so the doing of law cannot be cherry-picked. We can't select parts of the law to do and then leave other parts undone. You know, doing the law means doing the whole law. And so living under law is actually, it amounts to a curse because it excludes people from living by faith. You see how those two, you can't do both. Living under law excludes people from living by faith. Now the good news is that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us so that God's people can live in a different way. And that different way is by faith and by the Holy Spirit. Because that's how the righteous live. Let's read, continue reading verse 11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. How do the righteous live? By faith, which is what? Trusting God. Okay? Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Now, here's the good news. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, we talked about this verse last time, but I want to talk about another aspect of it right now that I think is really important for this morning. Does everyone understand the term redeemed? It says, Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come through to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ redeemed us so that through faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us so that we could live in a different way. Live by faith and not live by doing of law. But what does it mean that Christ redeemed us? What does the word redeemed mean? What does the word redemption mean? We sang it this morning. It's in our songs all the time. Brought back. In antiquity, the image that's being presented here, okay, is in ancient times when two nations would go into warfare, the victor in the battle would take prisoners over the ones who was defeated. And then the victor in the battle would let the defeated king know that I've got these prisoners and you can get them back for the payment of a price. So, to purchase the prisoner's freedom was to redeem them. That's where the term comes from, to purchase the prisoners with a price. And the price paid for that freedom was called the ransom. All right? Now look at your next verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a what? Ransom for all people. Hebrews 9:15. 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised and eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. All right? So Christ is the ransom that was paid in order for us to be redeemed. Christ redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. From the curse of living by law, so that we could now live by the blessing of faith. If Christ was the ransom, the price paid, what was that price? Him and his life, right? His very life. The very life of Jesus Christ was the ransom paid so that we would no longer have to live under the curse of relating to God by following rules. Christ redeemed us from that so that we could now live and relate to God by a whole new way, and that is by faith, by trusting Him and trusting in His personal presence, the Holy Spirit. Christ redeemed us to live a new way. That's incredible news, right? That is incredible news. You know, but whenever we choose to return to living and therefore relating to God by doing works of law, and that's the way I like to think about it. It's not just a matter of following law. It's by our doing of it, the self-performance of it. That's the essence of it. It's what we do. We have two places we can put our trust. It's in what we do, or we can put our trust in what God has done. Let me tell you, life is a whole lot freer and more wonderful putting your trust in what God has done. But whenever we return to our doing, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves, whenever we return to living by what we do, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves right back under the bondage that Christ died to redeem us from. That's what this is saying. Whenever we choose to return to doing law, living and relating to God by our doing, we're putting ourselves right back in that bondage for which the Lord God Himself died to set us free. You know, so Paul's point here to the Galatians, and I believe the Holy Spirit's point to us, the church today, is don't let that happen. Don't allow yourself to live and to relate to God by the doing of law. God set us free from relating to Him by law, by the doing of law. Look at the next verse, Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, which was the message that Edna spoke. We've been redeemed from relating to God as servants and slaves, and have been restored to what God always intended us to be, His precious sons and daughters, and to live in the freedom of that. Now, God sent His Son to redeem us from the curse of doing the law. And we are forever free from relating to God in that way. Okay? We're forever free by what Christ has done from relating to God in that way. So you might be wondering, well, why then aren't people living that way? Why is the law so enticing to come back to live and to relate to God by the doing of law? Why do so many of God's people live by law rather than living by faith? Now, that's a serious question that we need to have a serious answer for. And an answer not just with the Scripture, but an answer in experience. Lives lived by faith, entrusting God. You know, the fact is, returning to living with God according to the doing of law is an incredibly, it's very much a temptation to all of us, no matter how close we are to God. No matter how close we are to God, returning to relating to Him by the doing of law is an incredible temptation for whatever reason. I mean, we don't need to look any further than Peter, right? Remember back in the beginning of chapter 2? Look, did I put that on your verse, on your sheet? Galatians 2:11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to your face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. What was Peter doing right then? He was departing, living and relating to God in the church by faith and trusting God and returning to doing it by works of law, by having separate tables for the Jews to eat as opposed to the Gentiles to eat, and eating separate food and all of those things. And by doing that, he was actually reinstituting, Paul says, law in that church by his actions. And this is Peter. Peter, who lived and walked with Jesus, one of the key apostles, who experienced firsthand the amazing redemption of the Lord, the resurrected Lord, when Jesus redeemed him after denying him, the one who experienced the Holy Spirit's arrival at Pentecost and proclaimed prophetically what it meant. This is the fulfillment of all that's been spoken about. The one who walked down the street in Jerusalem and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, rise and walk." Peter, who on the housetop in Joppa had this vision and the blanket laid down, kill and eat. And through that vision, the church realized, the circumcised church realized that God was making the Holy Spirit available to the Gentile world as well. Peter. Years later, this would have been 8 or 10 years later than all of that. Peter was in Antioch and returned to relating to God through the doing of law. That just goes to show how much of a draw it is, right? How much of a temptation it is. Now, what's the opposite of living and relating to God by law? It's living and relating to God by faith. The righteous live by faith. The righteous live and relate to God by faith. Who are the righteous? We are because we're redeemed in Christ Jesus. We've been given his righteousness. We are the righteous. We live by faith. We do not live by the doing of law. How do we, you know, over and over again, the scripture, the imperative is not to stand firm in what you do, not to do these things. It is to stand firm in faith. Stand firm, trusting God. It is the most essential thing that we could ever do as a practical expression of our lives in Christ Jesus is to stand firm in faith. Stand firm in living and relating to God completely and totally by trusting who he is. What he's done in his goodness and love and grace and mercy towards us. That's what standing in faith is. Stand firm in faith. Now, how do we stand firm in faith? So that we won't be tempted as much. So that a better way to say it is so that we won't succumb to the temptation that's always there to return to relating to God by living by rules. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways is we just make a confession of faith. We affirm what's true. We do it not just in our mind, we do it with our mouth. It came out in the music today. How important it is to affirm who God is, what he's done, and who we are because of what he's done so that we can stand firm in trusting him. Now, I put it at the top of the sheet, except I misspelled from. It actually says form. This is an important affirmation. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. That's what we just read, right? That's the truth being revealed of what God has done in Christ Jesus. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. I want everybody to repeat it with me. You ready? Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. You know, standing firm in that truth, standing firm in faith, begins by making that affirmation. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ paid the ransom so that I do not have to live by the law's curse any longer. I do not relate to God by the doing of law. I do not relate to God by self-performance. I relate to God by Jesus Christ and through the personal presence of the Holy Spirit because of who God is and what he has done and because of his amazing love for me. That is the only reason That is the only reason I ever was able to relate to God. It is the only way now I can relate to God. It is the only way in the future that I will be able to relate to God. It's because of who God is and what he's done. Christ redeemed me. Peter lost sight of that for a moment, didn't he? And he slipped back in. Paul had to call him on it. We need to call each other on this, okay? We need to hold each other accountable. It's part of what it is, being in fellowship. Wait a minute. You're not standing in grace right now. You're not trusting God. You're trying to make this happen yourself. You've fallen back into following the rules and relating to God by doing, not by trusting. So, that's the way we want to relate to God. Let's say it one more time. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Aaron, you got the music queued up? Okay, good. All right, ready? Back there? I don't see anybody. All right. Next week, we're being blessed by some incredible worshipers, Jonathan Helzer, his wife Melissa, and their band. They're going to be here on Sunday morning. They're going to be doing a concert at the music hall that we're hosting. And so we got tickets. See Aaron afterwards if you want tickets to the concert Friday night at 8. The whole band will be here leading worship on Sunday. And it's kind of interesting. Catherine and I were talking about this, and she had been back in the bathroom getting ready. She started playing something on the CD. It's Jonathan's CD. And when I went back to get ready, this song was playing after what we had been talking about, just this. And I realized that God really wants to touch us with the reality and the wonder and the awe and the beauty of Christ's redemption, of the freedom that we have because of the ransom that Christ paid for us. So I want you to keep this in mind, this affirmation. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law as you listen to the words of the song, okay?
Won't you come up here? Come up high. Won't you sing his praise? Let it rise.